so disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories, to mark themselves confound, in his strength the more is. No foe shall stay his might, though he with giants fight. He will make good his right to be a pilgrim. Since, Lord, thou dost defend us with thy spirit, we know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away, I'll fear not what they say. I'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim.
Father, again we desire to hear your word, and we believe that your word, by the unction of the Spirit, changes us, conforms us into your image, helps us to overcome in this life, to take that cross daily and follow you. For we fight the good fight of faith, we lay hold unto eternal life. That is what we're called and predestined for. And therefore, Father, our trials, our tests, what we go through, do not take us by surprise. Thank you, Father, for this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Two wills in conflict. Two wills in conflict. And that's what I want to speak about today. We're under a battle, a fight. Everywhere there is a fight. In the world, it is a fight to live, to survive. In our bodies are fighting all the time against disease, the immune system, in the blood. There is this warfare going on. Then there are conflicts around the world, wars, rumours of wars. And we hear of them every day in the news. Again, warfare. A battle between two wills. I want my way. I think it is this. And so we find through the fall of man, through sin in the world, we are constantly under this conflict, this fight, this battle. And really what the Apostle Paul presented, particularly in Romans 7, Romans 8, this warfare between flesh and spirit really is nothing new. Ever since man fell, he fell and became aware of a warfare, a conflict. When Adam and Eve fell, they were brought into conflict and warfare with Almighty God. Sin has separated. Sin had put God in place of being our friend, our saviour, our creator, maker, which of course he is. It put a wedge where he had now become our enemy. Light and darkness. And so, as we know the story, God provided, atoned for this, so that there would not be this enmity, this fight, this warfare. And so ever since, of course, Adam fell, the work of redemption through God's eternal plan has gradually been evolved. Hence we have the scriptures, the Bible, which is all about God's redemptive plan to restore and bring man back into a living relationship with Almighty God. But this word that we have, this revelation, is also about warfare. It's dividing. It's a weapon. It is a sword. And it divides light and darkness. And our trials, our battles that we go through, whether they may be emotional, spiritual, physical, psychological, whatever might be the battle, it is because of this standard, this sword, that God has presented. So everything is in conflict. Where you sit today, and all those that will be listening to this teaching, you are in warfare. You are in conflict. Your body is fighting against germs, diseases. Your body is fighting against alien forces trying to afflict and take control. Everywhere around us, there is warfare. The moment a child leaves its mother's womb, enters into conflict, warfare. It's called survival. Throw somebody in a river, sea, out of their depths, and you will see survival taking place. They struggle, they will swim, they will do whatever to survive. And it's there right up until we take our last breath. And this survival thing that's within us is connected with the will to survive, the will to live. And of course, we find that there are two conflicts that the Christian is up against, and that is the will of God and the will of self. And those two wills are in conflict. Now, a lot of the gospel that's taught today, the liberalism today, doesn't really address the fact that even when you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, there is still a conflict, a battle between two wills. It's always presented, well, you've got the will of God now and you'll do his will and you'll walk with the Lord and it'll be happy until he takes you home. On the contrary, in fact, I didn't know how strong my will was until I got saved. And God began to open my eyes just to how willful I am. And he also had to start opening my eyes and teaching me, which is what he's doing and is doing today, how that his will, his plan, is far greater. And we learn to respect God's will. We learn to rely upon God's will. We learn to see that God's will is always right and never wrong. It is a process. It is a learning. It is that being changed from glory into glory. And so as we learn about God's will, his perfect will, and that we learn that he never makes a mistake, he is always right, he starts to woo us and influence us. He doesn't beat us over the head or whip us into conformity to his will. He woos us. He is gentle with us. He will at times permit and allow us to go into the permissive will of God in order to work to bring us into the perfect plan and will of God. There are so many ways, diverse ways, that God works in and through us, both to will and do for his good pleasure, as the scriptures tell us. But how he does that in his love and grace and mercy and patience. For he has much patience as a farmer, waiting for the fruit of the land to be harvested and brought in. It goes back many, many, many centuries. His endurance, his waiting, his patience. We tend to think that God's patience is only with us, with me. And of course it is. But it isn't. His patience, his endurance, it goes right back to when Adam and Eve fell. And all the while he is working with us to yield over to his will. Again, I say when we become Christians, we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we start to walk with God, we begin to start to realize and learn just how strong our wills are. Now, the other thing that we need to learn, we have spent much over the years about pride. And God is dealing with pride and will continue to deal with pride, and I think will continue to keep pride at bay, knees bound continually in his presence till he comes for us. So we have to accept that. But pride is attached to the will. It sort of is like a magnet. When we will to do something, I'm going to do this, I want to do it my way, there is always pride that is attached to that. When we are doing it our way, my thing, I am building, I am doing this, I, me, there's pride always attached to that. And that pride influences the will. It makes us more stubborn, willful. And so to do God's will, to yield, you will never yield until pride is dealt with. And that is why the scriptures tell us and encourage us to bow the knee in God's presence and to wait in his presence as he humbles us and he deals with us so that we yield over to his affection. Because brothers and sisters, you are never going to yield to God's way and will until the affection is in your heart. Whatever the affection is in your heart, you will do it. You will run to it. You will feed it. You will nourish it. You will excuse it. You will do all sorts of things. The affections and ungodly affections in our heart make us lie. We fabricate. We cover up. Until God exposes, and then we repent. And we realize that what we are doing is wrong, is hypocritical, is not lining up with God's will, his word. We then find we have to be in prayer, warfare, conflict, and he's then beginning to work. And as we present these things to God, and you want it done, and in your prayers you said, Father, I'm bringing this before you. I want this to stay before you. I don't want to change my mind the next day or whatever would be, because I know that's what I do. I know I can say one thing to you and I'll go out and do exactly the opposite. That's being real before God, because that's what human nature does. It's when we say, Lord, I bring this before you. I want this laid at your feet. I know this is going to hurt. I know I'm going to battle, but I want your will in this. And I'm believing you're going to do it. Now, if you prayed that, I think you'll know God will do it. I don't believe you'll get up off your knees and think, now will he do it or won't he? Was that the prayer of faith or wasn't it the prayer of faith? You know, when we mean business with God like that, we never question about whether that was the prayer of faith, do we? And yet when it comes to healing, oh, that's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? You see, God is trying to teach us the priorities. Healing, blessing, that flows. I think there's been far too much stress paid about claiming the promises of God when actually those promises come when you really put the priorities first. It's called the kingdom. We've done a lot of striving, haven't we? And not an awful lot is seen for it. But we eventually get it, don't we? We eventually begin to realise what the Father is really saying. What is the priorities? What are the priorities of our life? What is the priorities of my life? It's doing His will. But I know me too well. And I know there are conflicts between God's will and my will. And there is a clash, there is a fight. We call it flesh and spirit. The Apostle Paul was absolutely clear on this. We have doctrine on it. You've got myriads of books written about this warfare, this conflict, this fight. Some call it two natures, which is absolute rubbish. It's not. You're either a new creation or you're not. If you've got two natures, which they say, well, as we've said before, what happens to those two natures then when you die? One's got to go somewhere. Can you not see the contradiction? No, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. What our problem is between flesh and spirit. That's our fight. That's our warfare. Legally, we are new creations. We are perfect. We are upright before God. We are overcomers. We are in faith. We are, but we are also walking it out in this life. So we are saved and being saved. That is the question. Jesus had a good reason to still leave us in this world and to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will lead and guide and teach us and deliver us and bring us into all truth. That is His work. That is His comfort. He is a great comfort when He has worked with you and you find yourself now yielding over to the will of God. That is comfort. When you yield to God's will, there is comfort in that. It's called peace, harmony, relationship. And of course, as He's working with our wills, there are still areas of our wills that we at the moment can't really bring before God. We love it too much. It's too much of a comfort. Or I have depended on these areas in my life all these years. I couldn't imagine myself living, functioning without these props. And we all have props. Props are also inherited through generations. And so the thought of not having this prop or props in our life is unthinkable. However, God is working and exposing these props because that is hindering you in relationship with God. It is hindering God's ultimate blessing and perfect will being accomplished and manifested through your life, my life. I think we can clearly say, can't we, over the last 10 years, 15 years, that our eyes have really been opened to this area. And this is part of maturity, growing up. Because we're all growing up, we're growing into sons. It is sonship. And a son has a completely different stand with God to a child. Hebrews tells us to move on from the milk of the word onto the solids. Those who still take of the milk of the word, they still argue and bicker and over doctrine. They're still tribal in character and nature. They still want to follow this preacher, that minister, and so on. They don't develop and grow. And God says, put away those childish things and move on into maturity. You know? This is the point. Some of us still don't want to grow up. We still want the former ways. We still want the buzz, the experience of when I was young. You know? And in society, you see exactly the same thing. There are many people who have physical, mature, adult bodies, but still have a mind of a child. And how often do you hear that now? I hear that quite often. I quite often hear a mother say over to her grown son, who's 20, oh, he looks good, he's got a man's body, but he's got a boy's mind, and acts like it, because he doesn't want to grow up. And this is spiritually our problem, because to grow up means you have to face those spiritual giants. You have to face yourself. To grow up, there is that conflict between your will and God's will. This is what we're talking about, this conflict today of two wills. But you know, God has a way of not letting you have any peace in areas where you're still fighting him. He has a way of making that nest that you rely on for comfort become so prickly, so uncomfortable, that eventually you are going to have to take a leap of faith, which is of course what the bird does when it takes its first flight. God has a way of making it so uncomfortable until we are only too willing to yield over to his will, his way. Now, if you know that that is happening in your life, that is a sign God loves you and he hasn't given up on you. That is a sign he's working in you both to will do for his good pleasure. And he's going to do whatever it takes to make it so uncomfortable you'll be only too willing to run to his arms and do the will of God. And then there is that peace. Then there is that deliverance. Then there is that change. Brothers and sisters, we have got to stop pretending in those areas that we know God is challenging us. We have got to face it. If we're to go on, we have to face it. If we're to go on, we have to bring this before the Lord and we have to work it out together. This was always what God was trying to do with Israel. He was trying to bring her face to face, to sort out her sin. Let us come and reason together, Isaiah says, over rebellious Israel. But she would not. There is the conflict of will. She would not. She willed not to. And eventually God had to give her up in the wilderness. And she perished on the basis she willed not to. So it's not just a question of I don't want to. We've all said that, and we're all saying it, and you're still saying it to God, I don't want to. Parents with children, you will hear your child say, I don't want to. But that wasn't Israel's problem. Israel's problem is, I know it's right, but I am not going to. So there. And there's a difference. Have you ever seen children who have been like that with their parents? I've seen some. I've seen a lot of naughty children. And there's nothing wrong with naughty children. It's part of growing up. However, you have got a real problem if you have a child that says, I know what you're saying is right, but I'm going to tell you now, I am not. There's a difference. You have got problems. They will not do. Now, why does God give them over to their will? Why does Romans 1 and 2 speak about God giving man over to his mind, that reprobate mind? Because society out there today, your liberal groups are deliberately rebelling. We refuse to do it. We will do what we want to do. Therefore, God can no longer at that point, they have actually said at that point, don't touch me, don't try and influence my will. I don't want you doing this. I want to do what I want to do. God will do that. He will give them over and they bear the consequences of that. That is what is happening in society today. So can you see the difference between just being naughty, I don't want to, and where I am not going to, therefore do not try and influence me, do not try and persuade me, because I don't want it. There is the difference. I have sadly seen some in this assembly who've gone away, and where you have gone and tried to help and encourage, and I have heard on some occasions, don't try and influence me, I don't want to hear what you have to say, goodbye. That is dangerous. It is dangerous. But praise God, we're here today because that isn't our problem. We're here today because we're naughty. We are willful at times. But there's something within us wants God's will. Because that is that godly affection. That is that new birth. That is that hope, that walk of faith that's set within us. So there is the difference. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we are naughty. We're naughty because it's what sin has done. However, I think God likes naughty children. He wouldn't have bothered saving us otherwise. And therefore there is hope. And he's going to work with us, you see. And he knows what to do. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to woo us. And you see, he wants that standing with us as sons. God doesn't want children anymore. He has a remnant. He has a family. And that family must grow up. It must grow up. Because it has to grow up to take on responsibilities. God desires to work with man. But not all want it. They want to work with God, but they want to work on their conditions. And so they try and create these revivals. They try and build an empire for God. Look, I built this for God. It must be the Lord. After all, look at the following. Look how big it is. Look how much money we've accumulated over the years. That is not building for God. Building for God is God building through you and I, yielded vessels, empty vessels. And the way he builds is not the way we think he builds. God builds in a way other and different to how we see God building. We see man's attempt on trying to build for God. You see them in every town, in every city. They're called churches. But let me tell you, those places, those buildings, are man's feeble attempt at trying to build for God. However, like all things, God uses everything. And he uses the negative in which to bring about the positive. You see, the Hebrews, the Jews, the scribes, Pharisees couldn't accept that Jesus was going to bring down this temple in 3 days. Even the disciples didn't understand it until he was raised, until they received the baptism in the upper room. Then they began to realize what this new temple, this new church is about. It's breathing, it's living, it walks. That's why I keep saying we're living, walking tabernacles, filled with the presence of God. Ministering, going out, representing the body that you are identified with, you see. We're living stones brought together in fellowship and harmony. So, is there hope for us? Well, I believe there is. Can God work with my will? That's so willful and so rebellious. Yes, he can. How can he do it? Well, there are a number of ways that he can do it. Firstly, it's through prayer. Seeking God, not pretending, as I've said. Bringing these things before him. Then it's our fellowship where we come together just like this, and we have the Word of God ministered to us by His love and grace that helps us, that changes us, shows us these areas where we need to bring them before God, showing us that we are in conflict, we are in a warfare. But it's also settling to the fact that God is God, and He has the last say, and He's going to do it. He's completely sovereign. I don't know how God is going to work in some areas of our life, my life, to bring that perfect will harmony together with His, but something within me says He'll do it, because He's God. And my faith holds on to that. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight, you see. Where there's faith believing that God is bigger and greater, that He can do it, there's always hope for us. But when it's walking back in despair, oh, it can't, it'll never work, and, you know, I'll never change, and it's been going on for years in my life, and so on. Well, outwardly, it probably does look like that. But the fact is, we do walk by faith. And brothers and sisters, probably more is changing than you actually realise. See, God doesn't always allow us to see it. That's the point. But the world sees it. Maybe brothers and sisters are seeing it. But that we're all changing. We're all conforming. We're all coming into the will of God. Because when you are in the will of God, that is your protection. That is your blessing. That is where God fights on your behalf. You need God to fight on your behalf. You need God to preserve and keep you. You will not survive in that world out there. The enemy is too strong otherwise. He's too clever. And so we need Him on our side. It's about survival. It is about living. Because the biggest conflict in the universe is between God and Satan. You mark my words, there's warfare, there is conflict, and light and darkness do not mix, and we are caught in that. How do we know? You only need to read the story of Job to see he was caught in conflict. And it was, I might add, God who brought it to Satan's attention. So God had so much faith, power, concern, and protection and love over that man that he could boldly say before Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan, of course, in his pride, actually thought, "Well, you know, I can get him. I'll get him." You see how Satan has fallen, how depraved he has become. He couldn't actually acknowledge or admit that God had brought that to his attention. He couldn't say, "Well, God's brought this to my attention, I've already lost." Because God is God. Couldn't do that. That shows you what sin has done in the angelic realm. Couldn't do that. "Oh, I'll get him. I'll show God." How foolish. You think about it. Because he's so angry. He is so resentful. He hates God with great venom that he's so blinded. This cherub, this anointed cherub. And of course, he tries to afflict the world with his hate towards God. That's why the world hates God. That's why the world is afflicted by the God of this world, blinded, you see, until God brings us out of that. And as he brings us out and starts to clothe us, and work on us and mould us, which he does, we then find we have a different conflict, a different fight. We're now being cleaned up for God's presence, made holy vessels. He's working that degree of perfection in this life, in our heart. That perfection we know is a perfection of motive, of attitude, of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is perfection, you see. But for God to work that, he has to work with the will, that we yield over to his will. Not my will, but thy will be done. That is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Yet how hypocritical are many who pray that prayer. They pray it, but they are not even considering the fact that God's will is to be accomplished in and through their lives. But that is what the Lord's Prayer indicates. You are praying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And the moment God starts to do it, run away. Conflict. Battle. A lot of our outbursts, our temper, our tears, our anger, are all mostly connected with God's will being done in our lives. It's what manifests. The moment we are in conflict, the moment we get an insight, a revelation that God's will wants to be done in this area of my life, we react in the way that we react. The same as children, when they're told not to do that, will react in the way that they do. And human nature being like it is, will react and in the way that it does. And we all react in different ways. Some react in sulking. Some react in moodiness. Won't speak. And when they do, it's icy, cold. Or some react just clearing off and not saying anything. Some react by kicking a tire or trying to find someone who they can punch. We all react in different ways. And that reaction is, my will is in conflict. I'm in a battle. I want my way, but I know that I can't have it. And we're all like spoiled children that can't have what they want. They will react. How many of you have seen children dragged away from the toy shop? They want this and they want that. You can't have it. Or no, you're going to have it when it's for your birthday. And mother tries to take them away and they start to scream and kick and everything. You're all nodding because you've seen it, haven't you? You've probably done it yourself. There's the conflict, the fight. We just don't do it quite that way. We do it in a different way. But that's all it is. So the next time you react and you find yourself angry, crying, running away, moody, or whatever it is, just stop and say, all this is because I want my way. And our wills are in conflict. And Lord, you have honed in and you're trying to get me to will over to your perfect will. There's the sign. Not rocket science, brothers and sisters. It's staring us right in our baby blues what the warfare is that's going on. Well, praise God. The good news as I finish. Jesus is risen and he's overcome all things. Even death, and even your will, and your rebellion. And he has been gracious and merciful enough to take you on. To love you, to clothe you, to redeem you, to bless you. He has been gracious enough to put up with all your fight, all your grime, all your rebellion, all your bad feelings. He has been gracious enough to take us entirely, completely, utterly unto himself. That is perfect love. Amen. That is why the gospel is so precious. It is such good news. It's such good news for those who are battling with their will, are in this conflict, this fight. It is such good news because God will work with you, in you and through you to yield your will over to his will. And his will be nothing but blessing. Amen. Father, again, thank you today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for showing us your will. Your will is seen in your word as we study and read it. Father, we know we're in conflict. We know there's a warfare. There's a spiritual warfare and a physical warfare. But Lord, we know that you are sovereign and that your will be accomplished and finished. Lord, we know your will is sovereign because the word tells us that at the end, the very end, Jesus will hand back creation to you. That God will be all and in all. So Lord, we have such a future. We have such a vision, such a calling. It is such a great gospel, such good news, that we have a loving Father who is willing to take us on and perfect us in his image. Lord, words can never express. There's just not enough words, Father, to thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cradled in the love of Jesus.